Hey friends, welcome to the Rhythms for Life podcast, where each week we talk about four rhythms that help you reduce stress and anxiety and take charge of your emotional health. Rest, restore, connect, create.
These ideas come from Rebecca's best-selling book, Rhythms of Renewal, Trading Stress and Anxiety for a Life of Peace and Purpose. So grab your copy, invite your friends, and let's live in rhythm.
Welcome back. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Gabe. And it's fun to be at this stage of May.
Oh, my goodness. We've
got kind of a big moment happening in our family that I'm sure is happening in so many of your families, or it's happened already. And that is
graduation.
We have a son graduating from high school again.
It's crazy. We've been a little bit emotional, but it's holding the tension of excitement and a little bit like, no, it's coming too fast.
I know. We're so proud of Pierce, our 18-year-old son, graduating. And he's just an amazing light, so much joy he brings to our family, musician, songwriter, godly man.
I mean,
it's just fun to celebrate seeing him get ready to launch and head to college, but we're going through some of those emotions because Cade graduated last year, but Cade's with us.
Like
he's not leaving the nest. Pierce is the first for us that will leave. And that's like a new thing for us to walk through.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, it's just so much to celebrate. Your family's coming in, and that's also something that we're very excited about, seeing your parents.
I know.
For the first time in 18 months.
Yeah, it's been pre-COVID. One of those seasons. My mom's dealt with a fight against cancer, and so this will be our first time where I've gotten to see her a couple times distanced near her home, but we haven't been able to as a family be together again. So we're excited about that. So big week, and we're excited for all the festivities of being in connection and being with family. It's going to be great.
Yeah. So we know with that shift for us, we're sure that May holds that for a lot of you as listeners who have school wrapping up. Maybe you're in the North and it's not wrapping up till June, but either way, you're in a season of a lot of transition, and that can be a stressful time. It can be exciting and fun, but it can also be extra stress. So just know that you're not alone in it. And we're bringing things to you weekly that hopefully will encourage you to keep going, press on. Feel again, just this like the vantage point of transition is like, okay, this is not going to last forever. We will get through this. We'll do it together. and then God is going to meet us in it.
Yeah. So thank you for just being a part of this community with us. We love being able to share with you the things we're walking through. Continue to ask your friends to jump in with us this summer. We're going to continue to have amazing conversations about how to incorporate these rhythms and in our mental health. And today is no different. We're going to have a great conversation where Rebecca sits down with Nicole Eunice and talks about the tough conversations.
Yeah.
And I think this is so important for all of us. I mean, she really gets into this conversation about the moment you can make or break a relationship, where you go deeper with somebody or you decide to kind of abandon the relationship, and how you handle these tough conversations is critical. And so let's listen in now to Rebecca and Nicole have this conversation.
Hey, Nicole, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, you guys. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Yeah, we just are excited for people to get to hear more of your story. You've written prolifically, and you've done so much to contribute to people thinking well on a bunch of different fronts and living well. And that's no change here as you really delve into on your latest project, talking about relationships and connection. And for Rebecca and I, that's become such an important piece of us understanding one another. And in our communities and civic life, we kind of miss each other all the time. And so I can't wait to hear some of your specific insights on how we can do better at that. But before we jump into that, I mean, I think everybody wants to hear rhythms. Like what are some of your favorite rhythms? You know, the rest, restore, connect, create concept, and you're living that in your life. But let's start with rest. What's your favorite way to rest?
Absolutely. So obviously, like all of us, you know, everyone's world has turned upside down. And I think we've had a chance to just reground ourselves a little bit. When everything gets sort of stripped away, you can be awake to yourself a little bit more. And one of those things that's come back into my life in a real way that sort of goes back to my childhood is just an extreme love for nature. And particularly a moment I'll paint for you is around a fire where it's dark enough that you can really see the stars just gathered with a few friends. I am just like a kid. Like, I love starting a fire. I love staring at stars. Just love to invite other people in to do that with me. And that's just a place of deep, deep, I just would use the word where you just feel like you belong, you know, you're connected to the beauty and wonder of a bigger world, and just have reignited that.
Did you camp growing up?
So I grew up in the military. My dad was in the military. And so we were just a bit, yes, we camped, big outdoor. You know, my dad's favorite line is, let's have a great adventure, which usually involved like traveling cross country and, you know, moving from state to state. But what my parents did so beautifully was they made the ordinary into an adventure, or really not even the ordinary. They made the difficult into an adventure. And I feel like I've tried to carry that into spaces, which sounds almost like a paradox, but it's how do you create those little adventures in your places of rest, whether that's like smoking, you know, smoking meat in a little barbecue and lighting a fire, or sitting around and looking at the stars.
Yeah. The positive spin to moving a lot is, let's go have an adventure, right?
Yes.
I mean, I always joke that Gabe's like, it's a little bit of a dig, but I always talk about how he's naively optimistic, which is rude because he is just like permanently optimistic. And I'm grateful for that, because I can sometimes not be that. Let's just say that. Let's just say that I'm not permanently that. And it's so fun how God just pairs us with the right people to kind of give us perspective that's beyond our own. And so I just love that your dad created those for you, because then that does shape your sweetest memories and what you want to recreate for your own kids. And it is true, the things you have to actually work at and cultivate can be the most rewarding, because you get, you know, what you've put into something.
Yes. And I don't come by it easily. I'll be the first to say that, since we're starting with these rhythms, rest and choosing rest is not my standard operating system. So really this season, this year, just this moment, of taking stock and really trying to say, this slow work can create the meaning that we'll look back on years from now and say, oh, just truly thank God for that time. That was a reset from this frenetic pace that just kept, there's like a drug that you just keep choosing to go back to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to describe it. So what are some of the rhythms maybe in the last year that you've incorporated that help you restore physically with your health? Maybe it's in your diet, nutrition. What are some of your favorite ways to do that?
Yeah, love this question. I have just, it almost connects to the create rhythm as well. I have great joy about making good food, and not on the just the highest level of, like, you know, sometimes people talk about clean eating and all of that's wonderful. I think it's a beautiful thing. But I'm trying to land in the practical place of being like, can I cook a vegetable and put it on a plate and have everyone in my family enjoy it? You know, just lowering the bar a little bit to say, there's just some simple truth about the way that we treat our bodies that is so important to this, our expression of connecting and resting together. So really making good food is one of those things. I also come into what I write about. I started my career actually in fitness. So I've spent, you know, a few 7-8 years really focused on that work with clients. Then I moved into work as a therapist, focused on that work with clients, and then moved into full-time ministry as a pastor. So I feel like I bring that mind, body, spirit connection into this next season of life. So I'm always looking to those places to say, how are you holding anxiety in your body? What does it look like to release and relax, and even encourage my clients to do some of those things that feel awkward at first? But when you really walk through some of those relaxation exercises and grounding practices, they really truly do open you up to be present to the work of connecting deeply in relationships.
That's absolutely essential. And this community is very familiar with that being a priority for us, for me, for Gabe, for our marriage, for our family, for just this community in general. Is like, what are the things that need to be in place, the guardrails, that kind of the barometer that tells us, hey, alert, alert, all is not well right now. And then what are the boundaries that we've gone beyond that lead to chaos and spinning out? And And then what are those practices? So I'm sure your therapy and your counseling that you do has just taught you so much in all that you've seen and all that you've helped people walk through. But then that kind of leads us to what this conversation is about today, about being present in the middle of a conflict moment, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Fight, flight, or freeze. And what is the amygdala trying to tell us in our brain? And what happens is so many people just don't understand what's happening in the brain. And so we're just reacting. And we can, I would say largely we're a culture of reaction right now. It's the mode of operations. Everyone is offended and then they respond. And that can begin at home. And so you're talking about this moment in every conversation where that moment could change the trajectory of that relationship. And as
Absolutely.
We've seen, you know, marriages are under fire more than ever because of everyone's at home, you know, COVID required everyone to like stay put. And everyone's like, no, I was really good with leaving the room. I was really good with having an exit strategy. And partly the exit, I'll just speak for myself, is because I don't know how to bring resolve. And so when that overwhelm gets in on cruise control, then the only quote unquote solution is to leave to diffuse. But that actually only does more, brings a bigger chasm between two people. So would you talk to us a little bit about why conflict gets escalated in the first place, and then what to do first to start to actually hear one another?
Absolutely. This is just one of my favorite things to do. And anyone who's with us listening probably can think of a moment of irritation, a moment of frustration that they've had probably today. I mean, you know, we just have this script running in our minds and we can experience life through that script. And so we'll get a moment where we bump up against our spouse, a teenager, our coworker, and we feel misunderstood, or we didn't communicate clearly, or we feel our defenses come up. And I think that's, Rebecca, what you're talking about. When we're grounded in our body, we're able to actually recognize that we can get flooded. So that's when your heart rate goes up, or you find yourself coming on guard. And when I work with families and leaders, I'll watch their body language. I'll watch them kind of, you can see it manifest in a person when they come on guard. A lot of times we don't even know it's happening because we're not aware. We're not self-aware enough to know. And we talk about in the book, what does it look like to mean what you feel, to know what you feel, why you feel it, and what to do about it. And we had to honor and assign emotion appropriately, because many of us bring emotion to a present moment that is way more connected to a past moment.
Yeah.
But we want to honor, like, knowing that's what's happening. But for me, I've come by this the hard way. Like, my husband and I have been married almost 24 years. We were married very young, very like lack of all skills when it comes to like being mature adults. So we really, really struggled. We're very different. Just like you said, Rebecca, about you and Gabe. Gabe is naively optimistic. You're more grounded. My Dave is grounded and I'm the one who's the optimist and sort of ready for change. And you just keep bumping against each other in these ways in everyday life. And I told a story in the book about a time I'm standing at the coffee pot and Dave asked me if I want to go on a walk. This is just a couple months ago. And I snapped at him like, no, I don't have time for a walk. So the miracle moment is not the moment when you react. It's actually what you do next. It's how you think about the moment and actually process, wait, what was going on there? Why did I think I was right in my response? What do I want to honor that perhaps was going on? And it's actually quite a bit of work to take those few moments, rewind the game tape and be like, why would I snap? Because he's clearly hurt now. He's offended and he walked away. So now I can actually ask myself, what was I thinking about before that moment at the coffee pot? How am I really doing? And it took me probably 10 minutes just to continue to do some chores and ask myself, okay, one of the things we like to teach in the book is how can you hold together this idea that you're not as right as you think you are? like your perspective on life, you're not 100% accurate on your partner or your coworker or your leader, but also you're not as wrong as you think you are. You're not also just like a non-feeling person who doesn't have a reason that you responded the way that you did. And so as I spent those next few moments in the kitchen and thought through and said, okay, I'm going to use this curious, not condemning. So how can I be curious about my reaction, not condemning about it? And let me just process, what was I thinking about? And as I began to do that for a few minutes, I was like, okay, I feel resentful because it's COVID season and my husband gets to go into a room and shut the door and do his work for 9 hours straight. And I'm being interrupted by the kids. Now, no matter the fact that I chose that life and that is the actual rhythm that we've set up, I'm still going to honor the fact that I carried resentment this morning and I'm carrying anxiety this morning. So I'm trying to write this book and I'm finding it hard to find time where I'm not interrupted, et cetera. And as you do that work, you're able to say, okay, what is it that maybe I need to own in that interaction? Can I go back to my husband and just say, hey, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I want to do it right. But I've also realized something. And like maybe later today, I could tell you a few of the things that that actual interaction taught me about some things that are going on with me that I'd love to talk with you about.
Yeah, that's so helpful. Thank you for sharing just kind of the personal example. Rebecca's over here dreaming of the day I'll ask her to go on a walk.
I know, I'm always asking him.
Well, so I told you, Rebecca, you're the Dave and I'm the Gabe. Yeah. So.
What are you invested in? How do you make the most of all God has given you? Do you want to be purposeful with the way you manage your time, talents, and your resources so you can make a bigger impact in your community? I want to invite you to join Thrivent and myself for a special on-demand virtual event where we discuss the wisdom of women and the intersection of faith and finances. You can register for this event at bit.ly/ThriventLions. Again, that's bit.ly/ThriventLions. And of course, you can find that link in my show notes. We would love to see you there.
So you mentioned something in this process just before that story, but you know, half the battle is we don't know what we feel, right? We don't have the time to process. I was with my counselor the other day and we were processing some things that I was walking through and, you know, he stopped me in the middle of it and he's like, so now what are you feeling? You're telling me everything everybody else is feeling and what you're trying to accomplish, but what are you feeling? I'm like, I don't know what I'm feeling. I literally don't know. Will you help me figure that out? Why is it that we do have such a hard time in the moment, like understanding the feeling? And then how do we get better at it? It sounds like taking some time is part of it, but how can we grow in that and strengthen that muscle since that's going to be so important to how we communicate and understand one another?
Absolutely. And I mean, part of this is a journey of trust in trust in yourself, not in the sense of the self-help way, but to trust that we've been made in the image of God and that every person is this deep landscape of life. And we carry the stories of our life as if they are all in the present. Like there's places in our soul that carry a moment as if it's in the present. And the way that we respond to conflict often triggers very deep seated fears, experiences, past triggers, and we continue to use those coping mechanisms into our future. So for instance, if I felt like my deepest need was for approval as a kid, and then I come into a triggering sort of space that makes me feel that same way, and I feel like I'm receiving some from someone disapproval, I'm more likely to now use some of those mechanisms that I used to survive as a child. And survive sounds like a strong word, but that's really what it is. As kids, we're trying to figure out how to survive in this big, scary world. And we're able to use coping mechanisms that help us be resilient as kids. But if I'm still using those same coping mechanisms when I'm in my mid-40s and leading a Fortune 500 company, I'm going to find that it doesn't serve me anymore. It doesn't serve me the same way.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, one thing I know for Gabe and I, what will happen in the overreaction, like we understand the overreaction isn't about that moment. It's about a pattern that began prior. It could be a relationship with family of origin and, you know, whatever isn't resolved in those relationships just keep getting carried into the new relationships because like we're still the same people. Just, you know, encountering different people. Mm-hmm. And so there's healing in that journey. But also I think one thing we would find our loop was there'd be conflict or there'd be an overreaction from typically me. Like I'm one who tends to quickly feel and then vocal. I'm better than Gabe on knowing how to know what I feel just because I'm just a verbal processor. And I've like fleshed it out in millions of journals with God. So there's like a little bit of like free counseling that's happening there for years. But partly I think it's hard to still know why in the moment that we, because we thought we had resolve there. Like we had worked through this. Like we understand in our brain, you know, at least in the limbic, like the logic part of our brain, that you don't react out of wounding, out of fear, out of brokenness, out of control, whatever. And yet it's still triggered. And I love what you said about just pausing and replaying the tape, going back 10 minutes. I did this to Gabe two nights ago. I was like, the house is a mess. I guess it's my job to fix it.
As I was getting into bed. I thought we had a great night.
We have company coming tomorrow at 4 and a full work day tomorrow. And I guess it's just my job to figure it all out. And he's like, wow, that's quite an overreaction. And it was beyond. Mm-hmm. But it was exactly what you said. When you've got a need for approval, because I do. I don't want my house to look like a disaster zone when we're hosting company from out of town. So I don't know. There's that. And the stress, like you said, of having a deadline with writing, right? Or just something else looming outside of that that also needs to be completed. And so then it's all about capacity and feeling that that's outweighed, you know, like my capacity right now or my demand right now feels greater than what your demand is. So now I'm mad at you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, what you're really talking about there, Rebecca, is a much more vulnerable space for connection, right? So when I had that moment at the coffee pot, snapped at Dave, he goes back to work. And honestly, guys, he's so laid back. He would have just let it go. Like he wasn't, but I know that those things over time erode trust in a relationship. They just do. And so when we came back together, what happened in a moment of conflict became a moment of connection because I was able to be more vulnerable and say, hey, first of all, I want to apologize because I'm carrying resentment. That's not fair. It wasn't fair for me to put it on you. But also, I do need you to know, I actually feel really anxious about this book. My need for approval is high. Like, I want to be successful. I feel frustrated by COVID. I don't know how to find the time I need. And it's making me feel really actually pretty insecure. So now what was a moment of conflict becomes this moment where Dave leans in because he's hearing a way that he can engage me on the vulnerable level as my partner in life and as the one, you know, my one and only. Now, it doesn't mean that always works out that way. Like we've done a lot of therapy and we have been married for a long time, but I've seen in couples where if you work at it, right? Like Rebecca, your example is, hey, Gabe, I'm so sorry that I'm sorry that I snapped at you. You didn't deserve that. I was wrong. And I'm a huge fan of like saying I was wrong. Like it's a great word, but I also want you to know, gosh, man, I am feeling anxious. I feel like I went beyond my capacity and I know I made those choices, but right now in this moment, it's really coming up on me. And you know that I have like a sensitive place when it comes to making those choices again and again. I'm frustrated at myself. Then your spouse is like, you know, in a healthy relationship is actually able to lean in and connect at that moment.
Yeah. And that's what happened that night. I mean, we had a better conversation. And I think that's one of the things we've also been working on in our relationship is not to just say sorry. Like I've been really good at saying sorry, but not I was wrong for this. And this is what I'm going to. Yeah. And this is what was happening. And we're learning to have the second level of the conversation so that there is deeper mutual understanding. And that's led to a lot better connection.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the book, we talk about a real sorry is I was wrong. I'm sorry. What can I do to make it right? And my friend and I joke, someone who kind of walked through the whole book with me, she's like, I can't get the words out. Like just how hard it is to really lay down your own feeling of righteous anger or whatever, and really say those words. But truly, I think, especially as believers, we're called to that kind of love. It doesn't make the other person right, but you're responsible for your own actions, you know, when it comes to relationships.
And I think what's important here and the crux of it is still the self-examination as to, because we can still own it, but what can happen sometimes if we stop with, I'm sorry, I was wrong, what can I do to make it right? That can still somehow land in the lane of condemnation. Like, I just can't get it right. I'm responding horribly. And then we're just like, why do I always do this? And we're not getting back to the root issue of we are performing for love. Mm-hmm. There's an identity here that's misplaced in like just a need for approval. And then maybe perfectionism, which is a little bit of control. And it's not to condemn, but maybe I'm just the analyst in me is going, if I at least understand the motives behind where this began, then I can just give that to God and go, Lord, I'm seeking the approval of somebody else outside of you. I'm not feeling kind of beloved in my identity as your daughter. You know, it kind of helps me go, this is where we kind of went off course, and now it's kind of coming out in these stressors. And so it's just kind of getting back to the ground level of like, what was the root wound that created a lie that we then tend to fall into? And then when that flares up, I'm sorry, I was wrong. What do I need to own it and make it right? But then before God going, okay, Lord, help heal this side of me that tends to want to wander back to that place.
Yeah. And also, I think there's a part of this that when we begin to reconnect, when there's been a breach, even a minor breach, that reconnection allows us to also name our needs. And like what you're saying, Rebecca, yeah, I mean, our ultimate need for identity really is never going to be able to be met in a relationship. But when I'm able to use curious, not condemning, and actually evaluate what I need. So what we finally did take a walk, by the way, Dave and I. So what came out of the walk was me being able to actually own some of my needs and to say, now that I've said how I'm really feeling, the anxiousness I feel about the changes in our life and our lifestyle, is there a way that you can engage? To which he was like, of course, you know, what do you need? How can I get you some time away? He actually ended up sending me like in the peak of the pandemic, we would like find a hotel that was open, sent me to a hotel multiple weekends to write the manuscript. And so I still was able to own what I had done wrong, but also know I'm not 100% wrong. Like something's happening here. And if I can use curiosity, I can get to a place where I might be able to express some of my needs. So it's not just about me being wrong. It's about what's going on here that we both can meet each other's mutual needs in so that we're pursuing connection. And that's what conflict can actually do for us. It can create the catalyst for connection.
Samaritan Ministries is a community of Christians who live out Galatians 6:2 by bearing one another's burdens when a medical need arises. And I want to encourage each of you to check this out. In this new year, as you're looking at your budget, as you're trying to evaluate where can you cut costs, where could there be a savings, I know when we talk about medical needs, that can create a lot of nervousness. But Samaritan's Ministries has created such a way to do this. It's so unique, and it actually saves you so much money. It's not traditional insurance, but you do have the freedom to choose the doctor, hospital, and pharmacy that works best for you and your family. And then Samaritan members directly share those medical expenses with one another. It's affordable. You can join today. Go talk to them. Figure out what would this cost for your family. And consider if you're in a transition or you're looking at that budget, I think you'll be impressed with what they can provide. So you can learn more at SamaritanMinistries.org/RFL podcast. That's SamaritanMinistries.org/RFL podcast. All right, final question is, I love that you deal with in this book boundaries, and I know boundaries has been that's its own kind of category of understanding, but when we talk about relationships and conflict, are there moments where the boundary gets set that this person's toxic, that this relationship can't be healthy in its current state, and therefore I need to draw some more clear lines?
Yeah, I do. I talk about this pretty extensively in the book because I think it's a misunderstood area for Christians particularly. And I think we live in this idea that if I can do a relationship perfectly, I can make a relationship good. And that is such a toxic like belief system. And so I name three things that I think a person needs to have in order to be healthy: empathy, honesty, and repentance. And at the end of the day, all of us lack that at some point, you know, but in general, what we need to have are patterns where I'm engaging with a person who's willing to see things from a different point of view. I'm engaging with a person who's willing to be honest, at least progressively moving toward honesty. And I'm engaging with a person who's actually able to say that they're wrong and change course. And if over time and consistently a relationship lacks any of those qualities, it really can't be an intimate, deeply connected relationship. Now, it might be a surface relationship. It might be a professional relationship. But when it comes to the people who, you know, you name it the guardians of your children, or the people that you imagine doing life with, or the person that you marry, if those things are not there, evidence of those things are not there, then the ability to be safe for one another is going to be lacking.
Yeah, it's such good clarity, I know, for people listening and always trying to balance out Christian love with also understanding when things are unhealthy and taking you to a place that's not going to be good for you or your family. It can be confusing. So thank you for doing that. And just thank you for your work. Thank you for writing The Miracle Moment. What an incredible gift and book for everybody within this community who's desiring connection and wanting to do better at connection. It's something we talk about so much, but when you get these practical stories, advice, these tips, I love your curious, not condemning concept. I mean, all of these are just going to help all of us do so much better. So thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, you guys.
I love that you guys went there. I mean, again, this type of conversation for all of us is so important, because I find so many times we like bail on people because we're not willing to go there. And yet some of my greatest friendships, it's because we were willing to have these difficult conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to press in when you can really tell, like, this is a sharpening relationship that's going to actually bring out the best in us if we stick with it.
Yeah. So we're grateful for Nicole, her book, The Miracle Moment, How Tough Conversations Can Actually Transform Your Most Important Relationships, just released yesterday. So I hope you'll grab that. It's another one of those great resources for you as you walk through friendship.
So make sure you just stay tuned, subscribe, listen in, share with friends. We're excited about this summer and all the guests that we have on coming, and hope it'll just continue to be encouragement as you have a little downtime. Hopefully a little bit of downtime is coming for all of us, and just time to be with our people, the ones we love. And we'll see you next week.